Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast of Connecting Faith. Come your way each weekday at noon here. And I'm Neil Stavem. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you and engage in a dialogue about important issues. And our goal here on Faith Radio and really all our programming is to help connect faith to life every day, to apply, not only to learn, but to apply biblical principles to daily life. And I think today's program will be one of those where we can really be the hands and feet of Jesus in a very needed and unique way. Ted Ross at the controls. Ted, my guest today wrote a letter to the mayor of Chicago. He's from Chicago, a clinical child clinical psychologist, and just reacting to so much issues of child abuse in Chicago. So back about 10, 12 years ago, he wrote a letter to Mayor Daley, and he said, "Isn't it a shame that a family can't get help until after they have abused or neglected their child? At that point, the children have been removed from the home, and parents often have little hope of their children being returned." It's one of those, you know, situations where you maybe don't think about that until you maybe are in the middle of it and realize, well, yeah, that doesn't make sense at all.
The system's broken there.
Yeah.
You've got to get ahead of the problem.
Yeah. And so Dr. David Anderson said, you know, maybe there is a way that we can get ahead of the problem. And out of that has come something called Safe Families for Children. Dr. David Anderson is executive director of Lydia Home out of Chicago and founder of Safe Families for Children. And began back in 03 with just a handful of volunteers. The movement has now grown to a network of at least 11,000 volunteers and a number of host families, and they're in nearly 30 states now across the U.S. alone. And these volunteers have been able to provide hosting arrangements since this program started. And we're going to find out more about Safe Families for Children, but say welcome, first of all, to Dr. David Anderson, who has also served as a clinical psychologist for Lutheran General Medical Center and Mount Sinai Hospital, Chicago area. And we are glad to have him back with us on Connecting Faith. Hi, David.
Hi. Good to be here. Thanks for having me again.
We want to find out about this. You know, as Ted and I were just talking a moment ago, it does seem like the system is maybe a little broken. Maybe we can just start there. Have we overlooked this need? I guess maybe if we're not aware of it, we're just not really engaged in what's going on with the children that get into difficult, chaotic homes.
Yeah, you know it. You know, systems like these child welfare systems—they certainly have a role in our society. I mean, you need someone to step in and officially and legally take responsibility for a child when things aren't going right. But I think what we found is often being part of the system doesn't really have good outcomes. And many kids who are in a system, and when they get out, they end up not doing very well. And so we're looking at kids who were in foster care, and they get out, and then they end up going into prison or getting pregnant or wherever. And so this idea of removing kids and disconnecting from parents and trying to protect kids, when you look at the outcome of that, often isn't positive. And so, so I think there needs to be some looking at, is there a different way to do it? And that's what really I want it to be a part of, is how do we find a different way to do it?
Well, because even as you suggested, I get the impression that sort of once you get sort of on that train track, if you will, get in the system, that it sort of brings you down a path that you may not want to go, right?
Well, it's hard to, you know, every parent, including myself, if a school teacher says, hey, I'm going to report you to, you know, child protection or something like that, it sends fear, you know, right down your spine. And you're like, oh my gosh, what does that mean? Because you realize that they can do things and have the power take your kids away if they wanted to. And in many of our states, it's hard to get them back again. I know that in the state where I was at, or I'm at right now, it's once they're in the system, many parents, you know, it's hard to get them back. 20 to 30% chance you're going to get your kid back again, you know. So the bar is raised, and many parents have a hard time meeting those expectations and then, you know, having their kids return to their care.
That's a pretty sobering statistic.
Yeah.
You know, 70, 80% don't come back.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't seem like that's particularly just, I suppose. Or I mean, and we're not here to sort of critique and pick on you know, the social services and child protection. I mean, they're obviously needed and doing the best they can. But are the incentives sort of put in the wrong place, or maybe how? Why is there such a need maybe for safe families for children?
Well, I think. You know, states or child welfare, child protection entities are, you know, they're not really allowed to help until something bad happens, you know. And we all might know kids in our communities that aren't doing well or families that aren't doing well, but it takes this incident that's called child abuse to occur. And then, you know, the system can be engaged. And in many areas, it's engaged very well and does a great job. But often it's, you know, by the time a kid is, you know, has a broken arm or bruises or, you know, is being neglected, it's almost too late. Because not only is it too late because, you know, the kids are now harmed and then they have to deal with the effects of that the rest of their life, which the psychological effects of abuse can be pretty hard to overcome, but also it's almost too late because you know, the parents are you know, kind of at their wit's end, and it's hard for them to make the change, you know, that they need to make to get on a better place. And so really the idea of safe families is, you know, let's not wait till they're in the river and going down the river and trying to pull them out. Let's get to where they're going in the river and try and help, you know, prevent them from going into the river. And I think that's where we make, you know, that's kind of our inroad. And to be honest, you know, safe families really is a movement of the church. The church is actually really the only institution that's best equipped to serve in this prevention role.
And this is really, maybe I guess for people that don't know, and I'll give you a chance to maybe summarize what Safe Families for Children is. But I mean, this is just to come alongside families that are in crisis, kind of for any number of things, right? And
yeah.
So you're kind of the way station or the first call for help kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I always, you know, was convicted by the idea of, you know, how do we help support parents to be the best for their kids? And how do we, you know, really be, you know, in some ways fully pro-life, you know, and supporting them, you know, after they're born and supporting the parents to do a good job. And that was really a conviction that I have, and that I felt like, you know, is the role of the church. And I think that, you know, I mean, in summary, Safe Families is just, I probably should explain, you know, we recruit families to take in children of a parent in a critical situation that they're under some stress. And one of our desires was to be able to take children in for really any reason a parent has. It's really driven by this value of life, this value of the child, that the church should provide a safe place for kids for whatever reason a parent has, whether it's because they're homeless or they're struggling with drugs or they have to go into the hospital and there's no one to take care of their kid. For whatever, if we really value life, then any kid should have a safe place, and we shouldn't handpick who we help. And so that's really part of what the underlying kind of mission that we really wanted to be a part of Safe Families is raising the value of kids in our society so that no matter what reason, there will always be a safe place for the kids. And the church is really not just best equipped, is really the only institution that is fully capable of doing that.
So how is this different from, say, foster care?
Well, it's different in a number of ways. One is it's different because, you know, foster care intervenes after kids are harmed. And so many times these kids have a lot of challenges and difficulties because of the harm that they they receive. Second, foster care is really driven by the state, and people, you know, really are entities of the state, and they're operating, you know, as part of a system, and have that oversight that is, you know, involved. Third is foster parents get paid, and we don't pay our host families. Our host families are entities of the church. They're not being paid. And then finally is parents maintain all rights to their kids. And, you know, when you go into foster care, you have very little say of what happens to your kids or where they go or how they're being cared for or what you need. There's other people kind of telling you what you need to do and what's going to happen and stuff. And it's quite disempowering to parents. And we kind of wanted to make it so that, you know, parents maintain rights. They have opinions. We value their opinions, and we want them to really be in that kind of directing leadership role, because the Lord gave them those kids, and until something really bad happens where some institution says they're no longer your kids, then that parent should have a right to, you know, to say what happens to their kids.
Coming up in a moment, we'll meet and talk with one of one of the volunteer families, and an opportunity to talk to Tamara about a month or so ago, and just reminded me that this was a subject that we need to discuss, and so we're doing it today, and we'll put her on the line with David in just a moment. Invite you to join in as well. Maybe you have been a host of volunteer family for Safe Families for Kids, or you'd like to see about getting something started in your community and want to know if there's one there. Let's see if we can get some information out on it, and we'll talk more about Safe Families for Children. It's a movement of compassion to reduce child abuse. And Dr. David Anderson is the child clinical psychologist, executive director of Lydia Home and Safe Families for Children. And he is joining us today on Connecting Faith. If you'd like to join us, here's our phone number. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or you can connect online by using the email link on the website. It's myfaithradio.com. And click on Connecting Faith and just, you know, fill out the form there and click Submit, and it'll come right to the studio. And stay tuned. We'll talk more with Dr. David Anderson in just a moment. That's growing across the United States. Nearly 30 states now, I think, have Safe Families for Children. They strive to meet three objectives: child welfare deflection. Safe Families provides a safe alternative to child welfare custody. Child abuse prevention, providing an overwhelmed and resource-limited parent with a safe temporary place for their child without threat of losing custody. And family support and stabilization. Many parents struggle because of limited social support and unavailable extended family. So many Safe Family volunteers become the extended family that a parent never had. And so when crisis strikes, the church can step in a very unique way. Dr. David Anderson is the founder of Safe Families for Children. And David, I want to bring on Tamara from Minneapolis, who is one of those volunteers, and her family have been doing this for a while. Tamara, welcome to Connecting Faith. Take a couple minutes just to tell us your story and experience.
Well, first of all, David, I'm just thrilled to hear you speak about this passion of yours. And Neil, thank you so much for your heart for this ministry. Our family and I are so moved by this as well. So we started as a host family in the fall of 2012, and we have hosted 16 little ones since then. And they've ranged in ages, generally 4 years old and under, which is the greatest need, at least here in our city. And it has been the most incredible thing we've ever done as a family, most incredible way to volunteer our time. And we realize, you know, we keep talking about safety, and we provide physical safety for these kids. But, you know, we pray that these little ones and their families would ultimately find spiritual safety in the arms of Jesus. So it motivates us.
David, I'm sure you get to hear the stories because this not only impacts the child with maybe a family in crisis, but it impacts those volunteer families as well.
Yeah, and Tamara, it's great to hear your story, and it's amazing that you've cared for so many kids. That's what a blessing that your family has been. And you know, I don't know if you could say more, but I know my wife and I are host families, and one of the reasons we really do it is for our own kids, and just the impact it has in their lives, and you know, it gives us a chance to demonstrate to them, you know, kind of on a daily basis what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I was planning a church, you know, once, and you know, I always struggled with thinking, you know, what am I showing my kids what it means to be a follower of Christ? And now we go to church and we pray for dinner, and maybe we'll take a mission trip, you know, once a year somewhere or something like that. But there's got to be a different way that I could show them, and that we can really do this together as a family, and that, in fact, that my kids are powerful change agents, and they have spiritual gifts that often we don't even consider, you know, and we don't even consider, you know, where can my kids fit into this whole mission of serving the Lord and stuff. And I found that my kids, our kids, are really powerful partners. I don't know if you want to comment on, I don't know if you have kids yourself or if you want to comment on that.
I do. I have three girls, ages 10, 12, and 14, and they are just the perfect ages to do this, too. Their hearts for this ministry are just, they inspire me. And they continue to, no matter how hard it is, to let the little ones go, because sometimes our 10-year-old struggles with that when they leave. And no matter what, she wants to continue doing this, and we keep doing it and take on these kids. We pray on a case-by-case basis which ones will have in our home. And my littlest one, again, is she had on her birthday list this year that she, right after Converse tennis shoes and art supplies, she said a baby. Because we've had a lot of babies at our house with families, and they're very popular among host families. So I told her, you know, we can't always get a baby when we want one. And her birthday is May 7th, and sure enough, May 6th, the social worker contacted me personally by email to say, you know, I know that you like hosting babies, and we have one that just came up, and, you know, a month. And I was able to not only surprise her, but these are the ways that God blesses us as we're in this kind of service. And God delights in giving us, you know, these desires of our hearts, too. But my girls are very unselfish, and it's not always easy to host these kids. I mean, there's crying and messy diapers, and it's okay that it's hard, and it's okay that they see that.
And I think for me, you know, it helps prepare them for the future, you know, and it helps them to, this is what ministry is about. It's not always easy. It involves sharing. You know, it involves a number of different things. The other thing that I found is, you know, there have been a couple of times when I'm like, okay, I need a break, you know, from, you know, taking a child. And, you know, I feel like maybe our family's been really busy, so we should take a break. And it really, as so many times, has been the prompting of my kids that would say, hey, it's time, you know, and, no, we're ready. And it's funny, as a dad, you know, it's like, it's kind of humbling, you know, and it's but it's a great opportunity. It's a great way to partner with my kids, you know, our kids, and really, you know, put them in a role where the Lord can use them in a great way. And that story you had about your daughter and her birthday is, you know, I've heard so many of those, and I wouldn't be surprised if she was praying for this baby on her, you know, and stuff like that. And I think the Lord answers our kids' prayers, and so it's such a neat opportunity to be able to do that with our children and really see the power, and, you know, really the power of the family, that when you have a mom and dad and kids working together, that, you know, that entity there is a powerful change agent in our society, and we need to unleash those families to really make a difference in our world.
Yes.
Tamara, say a word about how does this actually work, I guess, from your standpoint. I mean, you you signed up as a volunteer. Maybe just kind of walk us through the process in terms of being prepared, being ready, and then what happens then?
That's right. We went through quite an extensive paperwork process. I feel like it was 19 pages or something of, you know, to include personal testimonies. There was a background check they did, of course. A social worker came and walked through our home, kind of a safety check. And it was extensive, as it should be, if you're hosting children. And I like that a lot, that they went through all that with us. But then once we were cleared, we're now in an email system where the urgent needs come up in our email, and it's truly pretty much every day. There are urgent needs to consider and pray about, and so that's how we find out. Then we respond to the emails if we can take that child or not, or rather you can just ignore the email, I guess, if you can't take on that child at that time, but respond if you can. And it's only been a couple times where I've actually gotten a phone call to ask, could you take in this little one or that one, when it's been a very more dire circumstance where they're not, a host family maybe isn't stepping up in time or whatever. But really, it is, they come into my inbox, so I address it that way. My husband is we're all in on this together. He's very supportive, so he does a lot of traveling with work, and if I see a need, I just jump on it, and sometimes he'll come home from an international travel, and I have a little one on my hip or whatever, and that's just, and he's great with it, because this is what we do,
yeah.
And it's just been so fun, and a blessing, yes.
Typically, how long would you keep a child? Is it a day or two? Is it a week or two, or what?
The longest for us has been 3.5 weeks, and now they can range. We, you know, Teen Challenge, for example, if parents are going in for treatment, it can be up to a year, 9 months or a year that they need placement for kids. But we have not taken on any cases like that. We have 3.5 weeks and under. So the shortest time would have been a weekend, I guess we did once. And other than that, probably around a week or two is very typical for our family.
David, I'm sure that as she has said, there are, the email box can just get full. You really do need more families willing to step in, right?
Yeah. If our intent is really to create a church-driven Christian safety net for children, we need more families. I mean, we're praying for 50 more families in the Minneapolis area, and I know you have listeners in Madison. We need families there and things like that. But when you think about it, so in Chicago, this is our situation. We have 1,000 host families, which is incredible. I mean, there's no foster care agency that compares to that. And last year we placed 1,000 kids. So we're looking at, we're planning on getting up to 50. So we're looking at 20 to 25 kids a week. And I know that Minneapolis is gearing up for that as well. And you get overcome by the need. Certainly the need is overwhelming, but the opportunity, is just huge. And the opportunity to serve, and it really grabs the attention of the world, because they're like, who are these people? And why are they, no one does this kind of thing. Why in the world are these people doing this for free, and no one wants money, and no one's going to keep kids? And it makes no sense, And so it really provides us an opportunity in a dramatic way to be able to demonstrate to the world what it means to be followers of Christ.
Well, let's pick up on that conversation in a moment, too. We're going to take a break here and come back, talk more with Dr. David Anderson. And Tamara, invite you to maybe stay on the line a little bit, too, if you can, and we'll just add you or comments into the conversation. And if you'd like to join in, maybe you have a question, or you've also been a host family, give us a call. Join in the conversation with us today, talking Safe Families for Children. It's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Strategic way in which we can share the love of Christ in a real important need. Now, when a crisis strikes, many of us rely on relatives or our church family for support, but for some parents, there isn't a safety net. And often problems such as drug addiction or domestic abuse, incarceration, or illness can be debilitating, making it impossible for parents to care for their children. And during such crisis, children are especially at risk for neglect or abuse as their parents struggle to cope. And in the midst of that has come this amazing ministry called Safe Families for Children. We're talking to the founder today, Dr. David Anderson, who is a child clinical psychologist. He's executive director of Lydia House and Safe Families for Children. And they are now spreading across the country in the more nearly 30 states, and thousands volunteer host families. One of them, Tamara, is in Minneapolis, who has just been sharing a little bit about her experience. David, I want to start with you, though. By the way, our phone number is 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. If you have a question or comment or want to just find out a little bit more about it. David, I want to get your maybe perspective, because obviously you have to kind of work closely with, you know, Child Protective Services, welfare, some of those things. So there always seems to be some growing efforts to restrict sort of faith in sort of government activity. So is that a problem, working around that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is some, you know, some real challenges in the area of, you know, foster care and foster care Christian agencies, you know, maintaining some of their stance and things like that. I know that increasingly challenging it in many of our states and stuff. But, you know, what's really interesting, at least our experience with Safe Families, is it's really incredibly different. And for example, we have 1,000 families in Chicago. We took in 1,000 kids, have been, you know, which is a huge burden we have taken off the state. And when you think about it, in Illinois, if your kid goes into foster care, it's going to cost the state, I don't know, $30,000 to $40,000 to care for your kid. And so when you can, you know, kind of carve out 1,000 kids, you know, that are headed in that direction, you know, it's a potentially, you know, incredible cost savings. And we can partner, you know, we view ourselves as really partners with the state, where we can carve out these groups of kids that we can help, which really frees the county or the state to have more resources to help the families that really need their care. And so what we're finding in almost all of our areas is this incredible partnership, this idea that they love us. When Illinois went through this huge financial crisis and they're cutting all prevention programs, I was worried we're going to be cut. And they're like, you know, well, we're cutting everyone else except you, because we really can't afford to cut you because of what you're doing. And we've worked out some great things where we're actually doing an evaluation right now where they're randomly assigning kids to Safe Families to the church versus foster care to see who does it better. You know, and that's unheard of. And so we've developed some great part. It hasn't always been that way. You know, in Madison, we tried to start Safe Families there, and the state said, no, that's illegal. You know, you can't do, you know, neighbors can't help other neighbors in this way. It's illegal, you know, without them becoming foster parents. And so it took writing a law and having a, you know, a law be passed for us to be able to do it. So it's on a state-by-state area, but we're really seeing this real interest and recognition that the church can be a great partner. I mean, part of what I tell them is that the church has done this throughout history. You know, child welfare systems have only been around 70, 80 years, but thousands of years the church has been doing this. We're the experts. We should know what we're doing. And so there really is a growing recognition of that now.
Is it something where it really needs to happen within a local church body? So if I'm in, you know, Sioux Falls or Fargo or Duluth or something, if I get my church kind of excited and engaged about this, then we can contact you and start making connections with the child social services kinds of things.
Yeah, you know, that's really our best way. You know, we want our desire is this is a movement of the church, and, you know, the church is really the answer. And so what we do is we recruit Safe Family churches, you know, a church that will say, I'll take on Safe Families, maybe like we would Awana, or maybe like we would, you know, something else. And this will be a part of, you know, the ministry of our church, and we'll own it. We'll recruit our host families. Well, I know Tamara, will support people like Tamara, and, you know, our church will come alongside of them and provide us support, because we don't want people to serve in isolation, you know, because then it's easy for them to get burned out. So really our goal is for a church to say, you know, we want to take safe family, like my church does. You know, it's part of our ministry. So when our church does their budget, they look at safe families. They look at when they do accountability, you know, to pastors and reporting. And, you know, safe families is reported to the pastor, and they're managing that. And you know, because they're the ones that, you know, have the families and have. You know, when someone becomes a host family, it's not like giving that family to Lydia. It's the idea is this is part of your church, and this is, you know, Tamara's ministry and is part of her church, and we want the church to take its place in supporting Tamara, reaching out to the parents that Tamara has in her care, and we see that as being really the most effective way to make a difference in our world.
Tamara, has it made a difference for you and you know, your fellow church members, of those that you've gotten to know who are involved in this?
Yes, our church is really vibrantly involved in Safe Families for Children. There are a number of host families there, and I feel always supported by that. But we're also watched by other church members who are unable to be host families because of jobs or whatever it is. They can't take in the kids. But a number of them have stepped up and asked me how they can support me and our family. And one of them is my diaper contact. I mean, she'll buy me any diapers I need during that time. And I love it because she wants to help even though she can't host the kids herself. So I feel so supported. And I go to New Hope Church in New Hope, Minnesota. And it's just, that's how I learned about Safe Families. I saw these other families there with little ones I thought they had adopted, and I asked some questions and found out it was Safe Families for Children, and then I started thinking about it, and it took about 6 months to move us there as a family, but our church has been wonderful that way. I hope more in the Twin Cities are like that.
And that's an important point. It's, you know, we do recruit host families, and they're needed, and that's kind of the core. But there's a role for everyone, you know. I mean, I've never heard someone be called the diaper lady, you know. But that illustrates the point that you know, you might not be able to take in a child at the moment, but you can mentor mom. You know, you could help provide respite. You can help this mom figure out her budget and help her find a job. And, you know, you might have some extra things. Maybe you have some children's clothes or an extra mattress that no one's using. And I think that's why, you know, there's so much of an interest from churches, is because really every member of a church can participate in one way or another, and they're just as valuable as host families and helping these parents get back on their feet.
Tamara, I'd be interested maybe just if you'd share a little bit about what you considered before getting involved, and to, you know, just kind of talk us through that for others that thinking, well, I wonder if I, you know, could do this or should do this.
Well, as I said, I saw these other families doing it, and then the wheels started turning, and I talked to my husband about it, and I thought, well, I don't know. And I asked the question of one of the host families that people always ask me now, but isn't it too hard to let them go? And that is the number one question I get from people. And, you know, as it turns out, God has shaped or has done something in our hearts that we can love these kids while they're with us, but we can let them go. And I always feel wistful after they leave, but we can let them go because they're going back to their families that love them too. So it was probably, like I said, 6 months of just mulling this over and thinking about it. It kept going through my brain all the time. And we prayed about it, and our family just agreed, let's go for it. That was the process for us.
David, if people are interested in getting something started, what's the easiest way what are first steps?
You know, I think if people are thinking, hey, I wonder if my church could do this and things like that, they could go to our website, safe-families.org, and see, you know, is there safe families in my city that I'm just not aware of? And I think a number of cities that your radio network reaches, you know, that we do have safe families, and it gives a contact person of who to reach. And, you know, so, but it really starts with our volunteers, people like Tamara and people, you know, like others who have, you know, are passionate. And, you know, we see our, you know, I kind of tongue in cheek say this, our powerful change agents are stay-at-home moms. You know, when we ran into resistance in Madison and the state was planning on shutting us down and said, you can't do this, we're going to have to arrest somebody, it was really a handful of stay-at-home moms, you know, in Milwaukee and Madison that really started petitioning and got the law passed. And it just was this incredible movement of compassionate people that are saying, hey, I want to make a difference. It's, you know, it's my life isn't all about just, you know, bring my kid to school and home and stuff, that there's a vital role that I need to play. And, you know, it's these moms and, you know, and not just stay at home moms, but that have made a huge difference and are often the ones that will either get their family involved or maybe even get their church involved. And that's what we really see. And we would just want to continue to encourage that.
Well, as you said, and maybe talk a little bit more about that. I mean, you're in Chicago at 1,000, you know, family volunteers helping 1,000 kids. I mean, we sadly hear a lot about Chicago and not always positive things, but I mean, it's, you know, there's some real challenges for families and children in some urban areas. This can, something like this could really have an impact on a community, couldn't it?
Huge, huge impact. And it's not just urban areas. I mean, you know, we do save families in very rural areas. We started in the, you know, United Kingdom where we have, you know, sites, and they're going to expand. We just launched in Scotland and Wales and, you know, and Canada, and they're looking at India. There's a network of 3,000 churches in India that are considering safe families. And, you know, it really, you know, it's funny because it's so simple. And someone says, you know, Dave, you're not a rocket, and I'm not a rocket scientist. It's this idea of how do we love our neighbors? And, you know, our focus is on the kids, and let's do it right with kids first. There is this coming problem that's going to occur where, you know, our elderly folks are not going to be able to afford nursing homes and things like that. So they're going to need the same type of hospitality that we're talking about with kids right now. And but it's needs in all of our, and sometimes even some of our rural areas are really limited in the resources that are available to families. And there's even a more powerful role for the church to play.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk some more with Dr. David Anderson, who is Executive Director of Lydia Home, which is in Chicago, and he's founder of Safe Families for Children. It started in the Chicago area back in about 2003, and it has now spread all across the nation, almost, I think, 30 states, and as you heard him mention, places in Great Britain as well, and in India, who knows where this will continue to grow, but it really is a way to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a very tangible, needed way as families and churches get involved in helping children, just being neighbors, which I guess we were called to do, as I recall. That's a, I think, pretty well-known parable about that now that I think about it. Dr. David Anderson on with us today. We'll continue in just a moment. Our phone number is 877-933-2484, or if you want to connect with us by email, it's myfaithradio.com, and just click on the Connecting Faith show page for the email link. We'll talk more in just a moment. That God's love is constant, but that doesn't mean that there aren't those in our neighborhoods who are not experiencing love. In fact, they're in the middle of crisis. And just looking at some of the information about Safe Families for Children, this statement, state welfare emergency hotlines throughout the nation reportedly receive over 5 million calls each year of suspected child abuse or neglect. Of those calls, about 1 million meet the criteria for state intervention. But what happens to the remaining 4 million families that don't qualify for help? Stepping in, standing in the gap, being the hands and feet of Jesus, Safe Families for Children. I'm talking to Dr. David Anderson, who's the founder of Safe Families for Children. He's a child clinical psychologist. Also, one of the host family volunteers, Tamara from Minneapolis, is on the line with us as well. And, David, I guess that was a question. I mean, do do all the calls to safe families come through child protection first? So is it, or I mean, if, for example, if we suspect maybe abuse is going on in a home, do we just call Tamara or somebody else to say, here's something I think's going on? What should we do?
Yeah, I'd always say if you're worried that a child is harmed, certainly in many of our states, there's what we call mandate reporters, teachers and doctors, and they're required to report that to state officials. But there's usually a hotline. We call ours the warm line. And so we see that if there's a family at risk, you can refer them to Safe Families and tell the mom about it and say, hey, here's something that can help you out. And in Minneapolis, our number there is 612-616-6278. And those moms can get help themselves. We get referrals from all, not just child protection, but we get them from hospitals and homeless centers and schools. And, if we really want to be a safety net for kids because we value their lives, then we should be willing to take, kids from really anywhere. And that's really our goal, is to take any child for any reason and to support those parents and be willing to take referrals from any sources.
Tamara, does the reason matter to you? I imagine that probably by being involved in this, you have become much more aware of whether it's abuse or economic or addiction needs in our community.
Right. Definitely. And as we take each case in, we do know the backstory, and it has really informed me about what's going on around me and all the struggles. I'm shocked by all the homelessness. That is probably the biggest reason behind the kids we've hosted. It's tough to think about that there's so many needs just right here.
And so, David, I guess just a reminder, this isn't if we, Ted wanted a weekend away from his kids, we're not just going to call Tamara, right, just for him to have a weekend away.
We make that's part of the screening is, We want to make sure, it's not babysitting and it's not like, I want to go out and party this weekend and, things like that. It truly is. One mom called and said, I'm feeling a little down. Someone gave me tickets to go on a cruise ship. Can you take my kids when I go on this cruise ship? And I said, I'm sorry, we can't help you. I'll be glad to take your tickets for you,
So you are providing help then in some way, right?
Yeah. But it really is families in need. And what's interesting, it's so many of us think about, I'll help this mom as long as she appreciates it and makes good decisions and gets back on her feet right away. And I really come, as my wife and I have served, we really come to realize that not every parent's going to get back on their feet right away. Not every parent's going to, it might take them a while. It took them a while to get in this situation. It's going to take them a while to get out of this situation. But our calling to serve and love our neighbor isn't based on whether they appreciate it or not, or isn't based on whether they take, good advantage of it and make progress. Nowhere in Scripture does it talk, that ties our service to outcomes. That has been a big lesson for me to learn, is that it's about serving, it's about loving. Maybe they're not going to make the best choices based on it. Hopefully if it's not this time, it's the next time. I remember one mom, we helped her, I think it was 7 times. And then she called the 8th time and asked for help. And we debated, should we help, should we not help? We decided to move ahead. And it was that 8th time that something clicked in. She gave her heart to the Lord. She got on her feet. And since that time has never had to use us. And we just never know. We just never know what, at what point is something going to click. And so that's why I think it's important for us to really serve almost, without concern for outcome. And it's kind of hard to do, but once we can get to that point, it's really quite freeing.
Oh, that is that's a pretty valuable lesson, isn't it? I think we'd all have to get to that point, because we want to know that our service is of benefit, I guess. But I mean, that's to understand what it really means to serve, I guess, is probably something we could review a bit.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is, and it, you know, and we all want to know. I mean, even when I, you know, give my child something, I want to know that they're going to say thank you and they're going to appreciate and they're going to take care of it. And so it's natural for us to do that. So if we give our time and energy and taking a child, we want to know that the mom's going to say thank you, the mom's going to be appreciative, she's going to, you know, and so that's natural for us to think that way. And but, you know, in some ways, it's interesting when the Lord commands us to love our neighbor or to give our shirt to someone who doesn't have it or give our cup of water to someone who doesn't. It's not, you know, there's really almost like no strings attached to that. It's simply because the act of serving glorifies the Lord. And that's something I really need to be reminded, you know, reminded of all the time.
Mm-hmm. Tamara, we've got a few minutes left. I don't know if you had some closing comments or maybe just an encouragement to others who might be listening and say, oh, you know, I wonder if I could do this. What would you say? Or maybe is there one, as you said, maybe one question that gets asked most that you could help answer?
Well, as David was just saying about the, you know, the parent, the biological parents feeling grateful or not or expressing thanks, you know, we can't fix them. And as he was saying, too, we're not doing this for their praise either. And we're just doing the thing that God has put in front of us. And I think of that in every part of my life, too. All I can do is the thing that's right in front of me. And for us host families, it is taking care of that little one. Whether the parent is trying to better themselves during that time or not, that really isn't up to me. I'm going to serve God with this thing right here in front of me, this little one. And that came to mind as he was saying that. But also just my closing thoughts, too. Today, the verse from Luke 10, it's 10, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his field. That has been just swirling around in my mind today, and I know we need more host families, and the harvest is plentiful, and the impact in your very own home that you can make on these lives for the kingdom of God, it's pretty incredible. It comes right into your own home, and you can make that difference there.
Safe-families.org is the website to check out, to find out where there may be safe families in your area. And Tamara, thank you for joining the conversation with us. And David, before our time is out, just curious, one of our listeners wanted to know what happens to the homeless parent if a child is taken into a safe home? I mean, do you put them back if their parents are homeless, or are these tend to be temporary issues?
Yeah, a lot of them are temporary, and what's really neat is the church then comes alongside that parent and figures out how do we help them secure housing again, and you know, we also leverage things in the community as much as we possible, but we don't work to put kids in worse situations when they come, and you know, that's part of it, is it's not just providing safe places for kids, but it's also coming alongside these parents and providing the resources that we all naturally have, like a mom needs a job, through my network of friends or churches or, you know, people that I know in my Bible study, I might have someone that can help them find a job. And it's leveraging, you know, our network that a lot of these people that are struggling in poverty and isolation don't have. And so how do we open our network to these families and help them get back on their feet?
And speaking of resources, I suspect there are probably some resources from the head end of Safe Families for Children. You want to say a word about that, David?
Yeah, you know, financially is obviously it, you know, we have resources, and I just want to point out we have this event coming up on November 15th. It's a Saturday at the Ames Center, and we're having this guy Jimmy Wayne, who's this performer who actually grew up in situations where he needed safe families himself, and people came alongside and helped him. And so if people want to participate, they can go to safefamiliesmn.org and participate in that. And also, we do have this goal in Minneapolis to have 50 more families before the end of 2014. And so if there are people in Minneapolis who are listening and might be considering, can you be one of our 50 that we're looking to get in before the end of 2014?
And if you're in any one of our Faith Radio markets, think about starting one in your church or finding out if there's one there already, and join in. Safe-families.org will get you all the information you need. Talking about Safe Families for Children, with the founder and director, David Anderson, who also directs Lydia Home. He's out of Chicago area. This ministry has grown now into nearly 30 states around the country and volunteer families. We also thank Tamara of Minneapolis, who's one of the volunteer families, for joining with us to just share a bit about her life and experience. And hope that you've been challenged by it, and we'd love to just point you to the website. If you missed part of the program or want to pass it on to a friend, you can always go to myfaithradio.com and then click on Connecting Faith under Programs there, and you can get the podcast of this and other programs and share it with a friend and react to the conversation. We thank you for listening. Invite you to tune in again tomorrow here at the same time for another installment of Connecting Faith.